Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of a bitch, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Once you change your philosophy, you change your thought pattern. Once you change your thought pattern, you change your attitude. Once you change your attitude, it changes your behavior pattern. And then you go on into some action. As long as you got a sit-down philosophy, you'll have a sit-down thought pattern. And as long as you think that old sit-down thought, you'll be in some kind of sit-down action. They'll have you sitting in everywhere. It's not so good to refer to what you're going to do as a sit-in. Then right there, it castrates you. Right there, it brings you down. What goes with it? What think of the image of someone sitting? An old woman can sit. An old man can sit. A chump can sit. A coward can sit. Anything can sit. Well, you and I have been sitting long enough, and it's time today for us to start doing some standing and some fighting to back that up. When we look at other parts of this earth upon which we live, we find that black, brown, red, and yellow people in Africa and Asia are getting their independence. They're not getting it by singing, "We Shall Overcome." No, they're getting it through nationalism. It is nationalism that brought about the independence of the people in Asia. Every nation in Asia gained its independence through the philosophy of nationalism. Every nation on the African continent that has gotten its independence brought it about through the philosophy of nationalism. And it will take black nationalism that to bring about the freedom of 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country where we have suffered colonialism for the past 400 years.
Black power, black power, black power. First of all, I'd like to say, I'd like to greet everyone in the words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Black power to some. Hotep. Ashe. Habagani. And to our brothers and sisters who are just out here trying to make a living and make a way, we just say, yo, what's up? I'd like to welcome you to the Black Power Radio Blog Talk Radio program. Tonight we're dealing with the issue tonight with the Ministry of Education. We're going to be dealing with surviving and the white man's educational system, saving our babies, saving our children. Before we get started, we need to lay down a base and foundation. You need to understand what the Ministry of Education is about. We know that true education will give us the power to remove the impediments, remove the roadblocks. We'll begin to see development of a nation. We'll see evolution. We'll see animalistic and humanistic development begin to change. We begin to see the violence rescind. We'll begin to learn more about who we are as a black people. But I must say, before I go any farther, we must not be disillusioned. The American educational system is in a crisis. The American education system has failed us. It's estimated that 10 to 20% of Americans back 30 years ago were functional literate. Today, in 2012, they estimate that 40 to 50% of our young people graduating from public schools are functionally illiterate. Right here in Jacksonville, Florida, as it is all across the country, we hear numbers like graduation rates. The graduation rates for black males in public schools is around 45%. That's graduating. That means you have from 55 to 60% of black males and Latinos and others who are not graduating from public schools, but they're going directly from the public school to prison as part of the prison industrial complex. Let me go on. So we are faced with right now, as information was given to me the past few days, of you used to hear something called No Child Left Behind. And they used to make fun and say that means no teacher left behind. And the word admitted to classrooms, I know this word don't sound good, but those who are working in predominantly black schools, they used to say, don't worry, it means all niggas left behind. Because it's not our school system. The public school system was never designed to educate you, to free you, to allow you to think and do for yourself. So I wanted to share a few quick statistics and what we're dealing with as we go into our topic tonight. It is surviving the white man's educational system, saving our children. Last week you heard from our babies. You heard from them from California. You heard from Texas and Virginia. What better format or what better way to start this ministry of education? What better way to start this ministry? Focus on a pan-African University of Black Excellence. So with that being said, I'm waiting for my comrades. I believe they're on. I believe Brother Vernon, you're on the line, sir.
Yes, sir. Black power. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother. Black power. How are you?
Black power.
How are you tonight?
Oh, praise the Lord.
Who is my brother?
Oh, I'm great, dear brother.
Sir,
Sister Kula. I got to ask my brother. That's our brother Vernon. Brother Vernon, please tell us where you're from, black man.
I'm in Los Angeles, California. I'm your minister of culture here on the West Coast, and I'm totally supportive of my brother speaking, Brother James Muhammad, and we're going to have a wonderful show.
Oh, praise Allah. We're also, I believe, on the line now is our Sister Kula. Sister Kula is an author, a writer. She's also another one of the leaders in the Pan-African University for Black Excellence. Sister Kula, are you out there?
Peace, I'm here. Thank you for that warm intro.
Oh, praise the Lord. Sister, I have to, did anyone else join us? I have Sister Kula, I have Brother Vernon. We're waiting for Sister Shabazz, who is another great educator, who will be joining
Black
us.
Black Power.
Is that Brother Diallo?
Brother Supreme Captain, New Black Panther Party, Hakeem Abdul Muhammad. Sister Shabazz will be coming in soon. She's in the one radio broadcast. So I ask you to be patient with her. May Allah bless y'all. Y'all Christmas knowledge. Black Power.
Black Power. Thank you, Brother Supreme. Thank you for that update. So the sister will be joining us. And, of course, we will, and with the grace and mercy of Allah, you may hear from our chairman, and we may hear from our chief of staff. But nonetheless, we're going to hear from you. I just want to run these statistics down before we get into the core of our program and establish this need for an independent national black education. I'm going to say these words so you understand very clearly. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad made it clear. I don't care whether you're Muslim, Jew, Christian, whatever you call yourself, this is not about a religion. This is about us educating our baby, because we get all divided on religion and labels and titles and names, and I'm a this, and I'm a Mason, and I'm an Eastern Star, and all that. But the bottom line is we send our children to the public
killing fields, the public schools of America, the plantation of miseducation, and we think we're being educated and all we're being made is 21st and 22nd century slaves. So the need for an independent educational system is going to be part of our focus. We're going to deal with how to survive the killing fields of the white man's educational system, saving our babies. But we can't even talk about education without having a spiritual base and understanding what that is. We must recognize, I say this very clearly, we must recognize that each of us as human beings have different goals, have different purposes in life, as frail as life is, and all of us are members of the human family, and no one has a right to impede upon that. So why do we send our children to schools that continually to miseducate them? Why do we choose to assimilate and to integrate into a system that will not give us justice? We carry these actions out because we have been totally miseducated and miseducated that we do not know who we are, don't know where we're going, don't know how we're going to get there. So Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, under the guidance of the great man, Dr. Khaled Muhammad, and under one of the scholars who we'll be hearing from when we prepare to open a university, we'll be talking about, again, our brother, Dr. Leonard Jeffries.
Okay.
So I just want us to bear witness that the data and the statistics point to this. I was at a workshop. I have to share this with you. You don't hear any more about No Child Left Behind, because No Child Left Behind has been replaced. Some of you are educators, and some of you are teachers and parents may have heard words like ramp it up. That was one of the programs. They've just instituted something that's been accepted by 48 states across the United States of America, and it's going to cause hell in the hell of North America, every public school and private institution who is tied into something called Common Core Standards. It's called Common Core Standards. That's the new language. That's the language that now the teachers have to learn. That's the language the parents have to learn. That's the language that anyone involved in educating children is called Common Core Standards. What are they trying to do? Well, their aim is continue to make sure that this white man's world does not fall down. The aim is to make sure that white supremacy, mask as fair education, white privilege, mask as fair opportunities in education. This is why our children tend to gravitate toward these schools, these white universities, where they can be put on national television and spotlight with hopes and dreams and aspirations of pursuing professional sports, only to be let down and brought back to reality. So what is our purpose tonight? Our purpose is to talk about how do we save our babies? How do we create an educational system? How do we begin the knowledge of self, starting with the books, with technology? How we begin to open our eyes up to the truth so that we don't continue to become victims, integrating and assimilating into something that causes us nothing but another 400 or 500 years of hell and misery in the wilderness of North America. So with that being said, brothers and sisters, I'm going to stop. We need to talk about the issues. I wanted Sister Akua to basically lay out more again of her platform, or what she's bringing to the table, what Brother Vernon is bringing to the table, and then we'll talk about the need for a black independent school, and we'll open the lines up for questions and answers about the Pan-African University. Well, I wanted to start us off this way. I don't want to spend a lot of time on rhetoric or statistics. If you want to help us and you want to make change, this is not a, if you want to help us and you want to make change, join us. This is not a rhetoric town hall meeting. This is not a I'm going to feel good town hall meeting. This is a town hall meeting dealing with truth. You got to understand, we also have to take a look at our parents. So we're talking about the parents, the child, and the school system. And I know there's some who think that we should continue. It would be nice. Let me say this. It would be nice to take every last one of our babies out, just as it's been done in the Marcus Garvey, just as it was done in Honorable Elijah Muhammad, pull every last one of our babies out of the public school system and educate them ourselves. But we'll hear from a sister tonight who's pushing a program called homeschooling, and we'll talk more about independent school. But we have to start where we are. Some of our families have left the plantations 200, 300 years ago. And guess what? They've been in the projects and the plantations ever since. That's because they've been miseducated. So here's our job and our mission. We must acquire a complete knowledge of self to know who we are, where we're going, and how do we get there. And one of the strong elements is embracing the spirituality of God. However you do that, it is important, but also to look at our character. If the teachers have poor character, then the students have poor character, because the teachers have more hold today on your sons and daughters than you do. Those of you out there, parents and grandparents, they spend 8-9 hours in the public school system. So we're putting this together, the Pan-African University, also a component, which our brother Diallo will be dealing with at some point, to educate teachers. But right now, we want to start with us. We want to start with the new Black Panther Party. We want to start the Black Power Movement. We want to start the NAACP, the SCLC, and all those other TOPS and all those other so-called organizations that say they're about black people. But you can't be about black people if you don't know what we stand for. We're not pushing a watered-down milquetoast, I want to learn about Hanks Ahead, Uncle Tom, Negroes. This is a Pan-African program. We're pushing a program that's going to wake our people up and to do something for self. So with that being said, Sister Kua, I did not mean to talk that long. Sister Kua, I'm going to ask you if you can please start us off explaining more about your programs, what they entail, and then go into Brother Vernon, and then we want to open up for questions and answers. And we'll answer any question you have pertaining to education and where we're going.
Yes, indeed. Black power, Kemet power, Akeblan power, African power, original people power, the first people power. So now that we got that all out the way, programs that I'm working on, I'll start with the first one, which is a national reading program, is one that intertwines education with empowerment and cultural pride and knowledge, because as we're teaching the children how to read, we're also giving them their culture at the exact same time. So every book that is selected for the children to read is on an approved list, so we know it's something that is going to uplift them, either mind, body, or spirit, as well as, I say, cultural awareness. Because a lot of us are in this predicament because we don't know who we are, and we don't know where we're supposed to be going. We don't know what we're supposed to be doing. So we need to be in a situation where we don't have low self-esteem and we have some self-worth. Because this has been, you know, beaten to our ancestors that you aren't worth anything and you have no self-esteem. So we have to reclaim our power. And we'll be able to do this through the variety of programs. So, as I said, one with the reading. And with the reading program, they'll have once a week a movie night. So they'll also be able to get, you know, their education through that form of media once a week. We also have, you know, the elders and the children working together, as well as some of the youth and the children, because we don't have a situation where the different age groups in our community are working together, and we're very detached from our elders. So that's important that we keep that connection. We keep them accountable and responsible, and we keep respecting them at the same time. So that's something else that's going to be incorporated. Of course, as well, having the art surrounding them, it reminds them of who they are and where they come from. The other program I have is called I Set Temple for Girls, and that will be opening up in early October. And it's a system for girls to become young ladies and young ladies to become women, and women become even more divine women. Because with the black woman not recognizing who she is and the power that she holds and the divinity and the balance that she brings to not only her relationships with family and intimate, but the world, you know, it's going to continue to stay off of balance. So yes.
I apologize for interrupting. Explain the program, can you please give them your background information? This is Professor Kua from Los Angeles, and please forgive me.
No problem. So, you know, that's the ISET Temple for Girls program. My name is Akua Gusai. I'm from the Bay Area. I've been involved in the movement since I was 17. I'm 33 now. I've been working at our schools, working from home schools to black private schools, majority of my working career. I've had book programs. I'm a children's book author now and a book publisher. My publishing company is Seeds Book Publishing. So I'm also, of course, the Minister of Community Programs and Services here in the Los Angeles area. And I'm a mom, most importantly. So that's my background.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I just want to mention,
Professor Kua, Dr. Kua, please forgive me. But I wanted to ask you, there are a couple of programs you're working on right now. Can you explain those?
Yeah, no problem. And I also wanted to mention that there's the newest program I have is called Center for Seeds in Literature and Music, and that's actually in Dakar, Senegal, on the continent. That is just incredible. I mean, we need help here and abroad, and to be able to connect with someone in Senegal who has the ability to do the running around for me and, you know, all the poly tricking that needs to happen so that we could have a center for our people to go and get righteous knowledge. So, you know, we need a headquarters, an ET phone home, so to speak, so that we have a direct connection of what's going on and let them know what's going on here and abroad and also provide them with the tools that they need to do for self. I mean, I don't really believe in doing a whole lot of paper pushing and begging for money and tools to get something going. I talked to a brother out there who says he was over developing community projects and buildings, and I said, okay, and I have a bunch of ideas. What can we do together? I said, is there a library out there? And if it is, does it have the kind of African-centered books that we need to enlighten our people? And he said, absolutely not. I said, well, then that's what we need to work on. We have all the resources we need, even with just within each other. So, you know, we're getting books donated. There was an actual library, you know, the area that we're using for a library that was donated to us. So we don't have to worry about that. We just have to get the books in there. So, that's the last, or I should say, my most recent program that's in the midst of launching. So I have the reading program, and that's something that everyone will be able to also check on live every Saturday after September 8th. There'll be a small presentation prior to the reading instruction during each session also in teaching the children something that's African-centered, be it a person, place, or thing. So you can look forward to that also.
Thank you, Professor. Professor, that's Professor Kua from Los Angeles, California. Brothers and sisters, please forgive me. I remiss. Did not give you my resume and my background. Again, I've been an educator. Thank you. Thank you again, Professor Kua. I've been an educator. Many call me Master James. Some call me Dr. James. I just let them know I'm your brother. Because the titles mean nothing if we're not raising up our people. What's the point of having a title doctor if you're not doing any healing? Okay? Well, my background consists of over 19 years in public education, working 4 years in alternative incarceration with our youth as director of education, teaching subjects as an administrator for 2 years, teaching subjects from English, language arts, math, science, reading, all the social sciences and history. But most importantly, my experience in public schools go all the way back to deal with urban youth. Urban youth who have been involved in what they call street organizations. Urban youth, many of our young people who've just been written off because they say test scores are low. Urban youth or black youth, many of our young people who have been written off because they don't have the right programs and don't know what programs to implement to make sure they stay in school and have an opportunity. So I worked in schools from Maine all the way to Florida. I ran and operated summer programs. We said, well, what makes you an expert? What makes me an expert is the results that we've gotten, the young people we've been able to challenge and to find their way, to find out who they are, to build on character. In the prison programs, which are run by enemies, the children were so conscious in what they were doing, they had to put the story in the Wall Street Journal in Bridgeport, Connecticut. But then some wise, I say white man, a Jewish man, said, we can't continue to fund this because they've already started what they call the school-to-prison pipeline program. And if you're not familiar with that, that's where they start tracking your baby from kindergarten all the way through by the time they get to grade 7 and 8. If they're not locked up by the time they're in the 7th and 8th grade, they'll be locked up before they reach grade 12. It's the school-to-prison pipeline program that's designed to lock your babies up, specifically targeted for young black men, Hispanic and Latino men, what they call illegal aliens, or young people who are in this country as a result of their parents coming in illegally. Doesn't matter. They're making a new modern slave. And they target this population because of the low test scores in reading and math. And they make a determination that they have no benefit to society. And this is why the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan said they can shoot our babies down like a dog and go home and laugh and have a hamburger because they don't even see our young people as human beings and don't see you
That's
as
right.
that.
That's
so
right.
We have to be mindful. So my experience, not only being, I would say this, I don't like to talk about myself, as I know Dr. Malik is always saying, you have to put it out there. I've been teacher of the year. I've been union rep of the year. I've been involved in politics. I've been nominated and ran for city council. I've given advice to many of them. I worked on Barack Obama's team as one of the managers here in Jacksonville. Spent time talking with folks at National Education Association, American Federation of Teachers, all these different so-called organizations you look up to. But the real experience has come from watching them not enact any of the programs, but reverse them as a way to maintain white supremacy. So we're working on this Pan-African University. We're working on policy for black studies. This is a time. It is a must. It's time for us to wake up and move forward. This is not a time to be weak-hearted or faint-hearted. America's fallen. Look at the shootings. Look at the murders. Look at the statistics. And I believe this is the last-ditch effort to come up with something in education called Common Core. And we'll talk a little bit more about that because it's going to impact your children and your grandchildren, and it doesn't matter whether they're in public or private schools, because this Common Core is just another way of saying we're going to maintain white supremacy in the public education system. So that's a little bit about myself. Brother Vernon, if you can please give us give the listeners a little bit about your background and about your program, and then we're going to open it up. It's coming up at about 8:30, and we want to open up for questions and answers, and then we're going to come back and give you a little bit more, have some statistics here that some of you may know but do not understand the impact that it has on our children and on you psychologically and mentally that actually prevents us from moving forward and doing for so. So, Brother Vernon, please go back ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you, good brother. I'm Brother Vernon X. I'm here in Los Angeles. I'm a minister of culture, currently with the Nation of Islam. I'm an FOI soldier, and how can I put it? Just and a father and a husband, and I have a passion for reaching our young people. And far as like Sister Shakur says, concerning Afrocentric teaching and really who we are at the core of who we are. And like the brother says in the mosque a lot of times, he said at the root of who we are. And that's basically what I'm still a student here with the Minister of Culture, but here on the West Coast, we want to establish, like you said, working with our young and the parents on who they are, because if the parents don't know, they can't teach the young. And just being supportive, and like I said, I've done a lot of research, and I'm still learning, and I'm going to support Sister Kaur mainly for right now, and just continue on with trying to reach our babies. because, I mean, we are in a hell of a position right now. If you look out here, I mean, on a daily basis, our young ones are dying. And like you said, brother, this system is not designed for them to be successful. It, you know, like you said, makes you 20th and 21st century slaves. That's all. And basically, that's it, good brother.
Thank you, brother. Brothers and sisters, you have to understand what's going on. We're not building a traditional European whitewash, Uncle Tom Hanks ahead. I got to use those words because you're going to send me an educational system that's going to continue to make our children 21st century slaves. We know we got to encourage our children to be involved spiritually. We know we have to continue to do the woman's program, as Sister Kua mentioned. But you got to understand that 60-70% of the schools in America are in physical district here. The average urban school district, they has over $2 million of repairs. Look at what they're doing with the Pell Grants and the grant money. Our historically black colleges are being shut down.
Come
There's
on
a
now.
Wonderful article on the internet that's called Pimping at the HBCU, Pimping Our Students. Why
yes,
is it called Pimping? Because even though we go to a historically black college, we still get a whitewashed, watered-down white education that does not prepare us to do nothing but beg for a job when we walk out the doors. We're not creating, we're not thinking independent. All we're going to do when we walk out of these HBCUs is go beg Mr. Charlie for a job.
That's right.
And so we understand that we're in this system, and I love Dr. Malik's. I have to say I thank our brother, and thank him for asking me to come on board, because my love and desire is that I want for our people what I want for myself. I'm not going to lay out all my credentials. I'll tell anybody you can have them if you want them. But the reality is this. The current educational system is falling apart. Your young black males are being targeted towards special education. Reading, our reading level scores are low. I live in Jacksonville, Florida, an area called the North Side. The reading scores in Jacksonville on the North Side are predominantly black community. Check this out. In this community, where there are over 300,000 black people in Jacksonville, 30 to 40% of them live in this community, there's not one bookstore. There's no Barnes & Noble Books a Million. And the black stores that we had that were bookstores in this community, our people, as Public Enemy said, they would rather switch than fight. They would rather go to the other side of town and drink the water, go to Barnes & Noble, Walden Bookstore, but they would not come to the black African bookstores right in the community. And so the test scores over here are low. So children are being bussed all over. You get the picture. It's a genocide, a mental, a spiritual, and even a physical genocide of moving our people, and so they see no value in anything we do. I don't want to belabor the point. Special education, your young boys are being targeted. Suspensions. All I can say is this. They say that basically six out of ten, that's basically two out of every almost 50% of the black males that go to public school get suspended at least 3 to 4 times before they reach the fifth grade. Why? Because they don't know how to teach, don't know how to control, don't know how to reach into the mind that God has given this black man, this black child. You can't give them a sit-down, watered-down, milquetoast, white education, European. They sit down, Rasheem, Jamal, be quiet. You can't do it. We got to write a referral. Destroying their spirit and their creativity. You got the picture? So this is with this university on Saturday morning, this Saturday school, September 8th. We're going to roll out the program by the grace and mercy of the Creator with Dr. Jeffries and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, and then we're going to go into teaching our babies Saturday after Saturday. And in your community, we're going to ask you to start a book club. Yes, a black book club. Aren't you tired of reading the white man's textbook that teach you about Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all the other racist, homosexual pedophiles, and then they want your babies to worship them by saying, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United Snakes of America?
Hey.
Wake up, black man. Wake up.
Come on, brother.
Anyway, brother, I want to stop there because we've laid out a couple of programs, our Ministry of Culture. our sister, our ministry from Los, our professor in Los Angeles, and our professor, who's heading up the cultural music ministry. Brother Sean, I don't know who we have in the queue, but I'm sure somebody has questions out there to where we're going. How do we save our babies from the white man's educational system and survive in the 21st century? So we do have a caller in queue. Please go right ahead. Caller, your line is open. Brother Sean, we're going to ask for your assistance if you can, dear brother, as you open up the lines, if you can direct the calls, and we'll continue to work this together.
All right, got you, brother. Sorry about that. Area code, let's see, 912-548. You're on the air with the Ministry of Education. Give us your question, your comment, Black Power.
Black Power, Peace Minister. This is Brother Dale from Waycross, Georgia, tuning in. Soon to start a chapter here in Waycross, Georgia. My question is, can we teach to the children more history, more brutal history, the real history, our story of America? Is that possible instead of giving them the watered-down version and making them think that's really all we were just slaves and there were no rebels and there were no people that actually were tempted to overthrow the system but were stopped? That's mainly my question, and my comment is, keep up the good work. It's great. I love it. I'm glad to be participating in it. My other brother's listening right now, Brother Maurice, and we're just trying to keep things going down here in the South. I'm a northerner, but I'm down here in the South. I'm back home, and I just want some advice on that. What's the best way to reach the people down here?
I'm going to ask if we can ask our sister Kua. Sister Kua, you've written several books, and I know you deal with this American miseducation. Sister Kua, you there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Our professor out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said before that. I heard you mention that I wrote several books. What did you say right before that? I'm sorry, I was switching.
Yeah, the young brother was asking a question. Did you hear the question?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, I can repeat it. It's no problem.
Okay.
Okay, so my question is, can we teach the real brutal history that we have endured in this country over the almost 500 years instead of the white man's history?
Oh, right, absolutely.
And I just believe that we need to do it as soon as possible and to let mm-hmm. them know that basically we are not citizens, even though they think that we are, and mm-hmm. we all think that we are. We're not citizens. I just want to say something real quick. A sportscaster, he said the other day when they were talking about Serena Williams on her crip walk, he made a reference to the fact that African Americans use a surname that's not theirs, which is their last name. That's the slave owners. And these
mm-hmm.
are things that are forgotten in our generation, my generation. I'm 30 years old, so this is technically
mm-hmm.
my generation as well. We
mm-hmm.
we don't know these things, and we knew those years ago, and that's why we dropped a lot of those names. How can
right.
we advise the youth and enlighten them to make them understand that they do have a history and it's not what the white man thinks it is?
Right. You know, in writing the children books that I have, I've definitely had to tackle some issues and make them digestible for our children, but they're absolutely necessary. And the thing is this, children ask questions. So within my text, I deal with what happened and I deal with the facts and only some of the emotions. So I can't be labeled as anything. I can't be banned from anything because this is historically correct. When I wrote a children's book about Marcus Garvey and I went into what inspired him and why and what led to this and that and why it was necessary that we had our own schools and businesses, you know, these are factual. And then the children, you know, as they're reading it or hearing it, they have questions. Well, you know, why did the children, you know, want to go to a white school, or why did the teachers treat them different, et cetera, et cetera, or why were the facilities so run down? And you answer the questions. You're just simply stating what happened, because the children want to know, why are we in this situation? You know what I'm saying? What's going on? So we need to answer these questions, and we also need to develop their critical thinking so that they even wonder in the first place. If they're watching Disney and Nickelodeon, they ain't learning nothing but to become homosexuals and to be passive. So we need to put them in a situation where they're questioning things. So we show them their greatness. Anywhere from, you know, the toys that you're buying them, they need to be educational, to the images that are inside of your home via statues, paintings, whatever, movies, all of those things. You know, all of us like to have a situation where maybe, I'll say 60-70% of the time you're quote-unquote conscious, you're doing the right thing, and then you have, like, this little time off, you have this little guilty pleasure. But your children witness that, and they see that as being inconsistent. So if you're talking about how we shouldn't be exposing certain things to ourselves and children, you know, like Family Guy or something like that. You're like, they say something derogatory about our people, and you laugh. You're like, I mean, I hate to laugh at it, but, you know, that's funny. We need to be more disciplined than that, and we need to take offense everywhere it's given. You know, when that Princess and the Frog movie came out, that should have been, you want to boycott, that should have been boycotted. They straight disrespected our culture, our spirituality. Every mask in that movie was made to look evil. The practice of voodoo was made to look evil. When the music came on, it was during a scary part of the movie. And then what happened? You know, this brother from some made-up place, if he was a brother, I mean, he looked like he could have been mulatto. He could have been, you know, European with a tan. Nobody really knows. They just completely disrespected us and our practices, and nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. So, you know, we need to... Yes, sir.
I was going to say, can I ask this question? Would it not also include teaching the true knowledge of self and others, but we must first start with knowledge of self, because every human being requires the knowledge of self as part of his proper cultivation and coming into divinity and understanding of the Creator? Because every society or every group or race of people on earth, they always look for that one, as J. Edgar Hoover talked about, a black messiah, to raise up a black man and woman in America.
The beauty of our story.
So would it not be imperative to teach our people about themselves? And once we have mastery of our own self-knowledge, our own black history, and then we can study white history, because white people have been studying us from the cradle to the grave. As we know, that's what the whole Willie Lynch concept has been about. They study us, they know our behaviors, they come in our communities and get our best and our best and brightest athletes, our best and brightest scholars. I'm sorry, Dr. Malik, even our best and brightest lawyers, but they didn't get you, sir. They did not get you. They come and get our best and brightest teachers, and so they leave us the crumbs what's left. So America says it believes in pluralism, but whites manifest the thing of white supremacy, I believe what brother's talking about. So he wants us to teach more down to earth, not the Negro, not the coon, excuse my language if it's offensive, not the Uncle Tom bootlicking Negro that comes called African American history, but we want to start with the people who built the pyramids, who were the kings and the gods in Kemet, who laid the foundation on the Nile River in Ethiopia, Nile Valley civilizations. Is that what you're talking about, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Sir, my brother. Yes, sir. And so that's why I asked our professor to explain, because Dr. Leonard Jeffries, and I know Dr. Malik Zulu-Shabazz, when we get to September 8th, will be dealing with this issue more in detail. Sister Koo, I just wanted to say that because I know you missed part of the question, but we're talking about black people historically, what we have accomplished, not what we have failed to achieve.
Yes, sir.
Right. I mean, I think, one, our history encompasses all history because we're the first people here. And I just believe in telling the absolute complete story, and it's going to lead up to it anyway. You can definitely focus and put all of your energy on the positive and the accomplishments that are, you know, continuously build that our people do. You should do that. But all I'm saying is that the questions are going to come in regards to, okay, with that being the case, how do we get here in this situation? And we need to make you know, they need to feel uncomfortable. When you're uncomfortable, change comes, movement comes. We need to let them know, you know, you're here for a reason. You have a purpose. You were born because you have something that you need to accomplish and do. When you live with a purpose, your priorities are completely different when you're in alignment with your destiny. And I try to mention that in all of my children's books, the importance of destiny, the spiritual and cultural connection, and, of course, education. But if you only focus on education, then you're not going to get to your purpose. You're not going to get to what the divinity in you, which is what makes us such a sacred and intentional people, and knowing that this life that we're living, this dimension we're living on, is just kindergarten. You know what I mean?
Yes,
that takes some of the fear out of your actions, and knowing that this is small time. They lead you to believe that this is this lifetime and this dimension that we're in, this is it. And after you dead and you gone, you go to heaven, you go to hell, whatnot. We're much more divine than that. African spirituality don't even believe in hell, don't even believe in the devil. We don't even have that in our spiritual system. So we need to create a situation where we're getting back to self. Let's say that this land was liberated. Let's say it was turned over to the proper owners. And what are you going to implement? What are you going to do? What are you going to put in place? What's going to go in your rites of passage? You know, what kind of culture do you have? Why? Your culture cannot just be protecting people and trying to keep white folks bootstrapped off your neck. That is not culture. That is not a tradition. So when we focus on the culture, then we protect the culture. You protect the black woman. You protect the black child. You protect the black family. That's going to come too. So just like you're saying, we need to teach the children and remind the adults and or teach them of our accomplishments, but even more so our potential and what we can still do. We can build more pyramids. We can come up with more mystical things to have these white folks like, how in the hell did they do that? We still can do that. That's a blueprint of our greatness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Sister Kua, I hate to break in because we don't want to neglect the other callers. I think Brother Sean let us know. We have, and I think the questions are right on track. 404-938, Brother Sean. Are they still there? 404-938.
Yes, sir. Black power.
Black power, sir.
Black power, yes. I somehow knew the Brother Dell. This Brother Mauricio, also out of Waycross, Georgia. The Brother Dell had a two-part question. I somehow assumed that the first part would get answered, and the second part might. So I'm glad that I queued in. I wanted to talk in reference to the I know that our overall subject is about the development of the youth, but this is also something that is a part of that development. So in the city that we're in, we're interested in starting a chapter, and we have both applied and we're both making moves. We both want everyone to know that we are ready. We're not playing, and we you understand that we're trying to grab the necessary essentials to do what we have to do. But what any advice that's feasible over the line that could be given from more experienced brothers, I would ask that they expound and help me and the brother out, because we definitely about what we're trying to do. And with that, I'm clear.
Yes, sir. Brother Maurice, I will say this in reference to that's part of the education that we're dealing with. There are brothers and sisters all across this nation who are members of the New Black Panther Party and part of the Black Power Movement under the direction and leadership of Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz and our Chief of Staff, Brother Hashim Azinga, and, of course, Brother Sean and others. But I will say this. All you have to do is reach out and call someone. I know I talked with you last night. I talked with my other brother last night. And it's real important to understand that the more that you reach out and people come to help you, it's each one teach one. You've heard that before.
Yes,
each one teach one. That's the concept that we have to employ. But I wanted to say that to even go even deeper, that as you start your new chapter, We don't want people to see this as an option of developing a Saturday program. It is a must.
Must. That's
the original Black Panthers that we have respect for, they started the breakfast program. I'll show you how much respect they got from this white man, this white man's educational system that we're trying to save our children from. They refuse to let us save our children, so what do? They duplicate it. They mimic the same program, and they pump dollar after dollar in. What we are in a battle right now, we're in a battle for the minds, the hearts, and soul of our people. Our people go to our enemies for jobs after going to the educational system. They go to them for food. They go to them for housing. So what we have to do is if you set up your new chapter, brother, as part of this educational process, we have to have something that's going to draw them in. And I believe and know that this online Pan-African University of Black Excellence, let me say it again, this online Pan-African University of Black Excellence is going to be one of the vehicles to pull our people in, because they recognize that going to predominantly white schools only leaves them begging for a job. Going to HBCUs, our historically black colleges, I call them our historically black plantations in America. I'm sorry. I know Book T. Washington said, cast down your bucket where you are, and other brothers said very clearly, you must do something for yourself. That's the teaching. So, brother, we look forward to you setting that up. We're happy to help you set up something of nature. And that's how we're going to build. Dr. Malik is making a paradigm shift. I think there are 9 ministries. Please, once you get set, get involved in one of these ministries. We should be fighting this program, as Sister Kuhl is talking about, 24-7. We can't talk education and not talk about religion and talk about spirituality and talk about God. How are we going to beat the devil if we're doing what the devil do? Okay. How are we going to beat the devil? We can't. So this is why the righteous people, God, always come out on top. I'm sorry, brother. I think there's another call in queue, Brother Sean. Well, we can continue. Sister Kua, I apologize. I want to just interject that because you have your book program and our brother has the music program, Brother Vernon. The music program lines up hand in hand with what we're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us how that would fit, just some insight to what you're seeing yourself doing with the young people as we're waiting for Sister Shabazz and a couple others to join us, and they talk about the homeschool.
Are you talking to Sister Akua or me?
Oh, either one, dear brother. You're talking to you, Brother Vernon, on the music.
Okay. No, brother, I was listening to the brother. What you were saying, brother, you know, brother, like you said, one thing about this man's educational system, and I've heard the message, well, read in the message to the black man where the brother says, the science of whatever you're going to do. That's the one thing in these Americas that we're not taught, the science. Like if you're going to be a doctor, science to being a lawyer, there's a science, there's an undercurrent to doing whatever. And that is not what we're taught here. You know, we're taught, like you said, brother, to be subservient. You know, like you said, begging a man for a job. And when you're taught to create your own job, to create whatever you're going to do, like this homeschool, what we're doing now, we're taking the science of this thing, and we're going to create something for ourselves. Beautiful, brother. Right on.
Yes, sir. You know, the scriptures make it plain, brother. How can they know except they have a teacher? And how can they have a teacher except to be sent? We can't look. We want to keep this in focus. We're talking about surviving the white man's education system and saving our children. The Chinese don't bring their children to us in the black community and say, make them men.
No, they don't.
The white man don't bring his children over here and say, Negro, make my children men. White women don't bring their children over here and say, black woman, or whatever they might call you. You know they call you nigger or nappy or whatever they call you. The bottom line is they don't say make them a woman. So why would we take our babies to the door and beg them to educate our children and make them men and women? I said it. The Messenger of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, the people who have never treated you right will not teach you right.
That
has happened nowhere in the course of history.
But let me say this, brother. I want to say this. The brother was asking, how can we go about certain things? I said this, and you said it, you repeated it, said it earlier, but dealing with Shakur has, I mean, she has a structure dealing with that young mind, which I would like to talk to her later on about. But the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because, brother, if you've ever talked, if you ever had time with young Ashkenazi Jews, the children can tell you about the Holocaust, the horrors of it. They can tell you everything about it. You know what I mean? They don't hold back and they don't whitewash anything. They don't water down anything. They tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And dealing with our young people, like with my daughter, I told my daughter when she was coming on about her melanin and about her history and about what went on and Jim Crow laws and the Great Compromise, why things are the way they are. You know what I mean? I sit down and explain. Now, a lot of it's harsh, but like I said, these children today, man, their skin's a lot thicker than you think. And I'd say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth when we're dealing with our, because they are tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Brother, we have another caller in queue. Can I be heard?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Brother Sean, we have another caller in queue. Can you break them in, please?
Yes, sir. Area code 904-537. You're on the air, Black Power Radio, National Ministry of Education, 904-537. Your question, your comment, please.
Oh, that's me.
Yes, please. Go ahead, Ray, with the question. Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
All right. Okay. I've been listening for about 2 weeks now. And I understand what's going on in the world, but what I don't understand is I'm 40 years old, and I have never, no one has ever taught me who I was, where my role is, why am I hated by a race of people, and I'm surrounded by black people. So I don't feel anger towards the white man for that.
Okay.
So I'm 40 years old, and I find out if it wasn't for the shooting with Trayvon, I would have never found out my history because I had to get on the internet. And my question was, why do white people hate me so much? And as I started digging and digging and digging, then I started to find the answers. It's not about them. Justice will be served to them through God. It's about us getting our history, getting our minds right, getting our bodies right, and being prepared. But we're not doing that. Where I live, nobody's talking about it where I live. Nobody's doing nothing where I live. And I'm surrounded by black people.
Sister, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
You're 40 years old. You're in Jacksonville, Florida. Is that correct?
Yep.
Do you know the history of Jacksonville, Florida?
I am learning the history of Jacksonville, Florida. I know what it is. My understanding to why.
The reason I'm asking you that is this. You graduated mm-hmm. school in Jacksonville. You know there's schools named
school up north. I know all that. That don't matter. What matters is, according to the Bible, we're being punished for being disobedient. We're still being disobedient. We need to get right with ourselves, with each other. It ain't about the white man. It's not about him. He's going to get his justice. What he does not want us to do is to unite and know our history and to do what we
can. Can I ask you this? You're familiar with the scriptures, right? And it says very clearly that our people have been in America for over 300 years, and we've been suffering over 300 years.
Yes.
We're in a land, as the Bible talks about, we do not know our own. And in the scriptures it says, you love your enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you. Be good. Uh-huh. Don't revolt. Don't steal from your master. They determine your education. They teach you Abraham Lincoln as the father. They teach you George Washington as the father. They teach you I pledge. They don't even tell you to pledge allegiance to God. They say, I pledge allegiance to the United States. I'm not even saying, I say the United States.
You're missing what I'm saying. I should not be 40 years old and not know the truth. Forget what they're telling me. They can tell me the bubble gum is Santa Claus. It don't matter what they tell me. It's what I know from what is taught from my people. I go to school when I would go to school before even knowing the truth. I could sit there in class and say, this is some bull. I took a class where the lady told my ancestors were a bunch of apes. I said, maybe your ancestors were apes, but I know mine is not even knowing the truth. So no matter what they teach us, no matter what they do, no matter what they say, if we don't unite and know our truth and do right within ourselves, that's what they fear the most. They want us to do exactly what we're doing right now. Talking about coming to get them. We're not going to be united.
But this sister, can I ask you this? You mentioned a lot about suffering. You mentioned a lot about suffering. Do you agree that as black people we should unite? Yes, I believe we should.
Yes, but we need to know our truth.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe that we could develop educational systems so there will be no other people or children who come behind you that do not know their history, but to enslave the people? Right. So we're in agreement. So to enslave the people is a terrible thing. And I'm not castigating anyone and people because of their enslavement. But many of us fix blame, and then we say we suffer, so we complain. This one is guilty of my suffering, and I hate this. So we're not teaching that. So the Pan-African University of Black Excellence is built around doing for self. If you look at the negative experience we have, we have to move to the positive. Take a look at what the book says, whether you follow the Bible or the Holy Quran. It says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. So when you said we're suffering, yes, there's truth in that. But then the other scripture says what? It said, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers in her sins, for her sins are reached into heaven. Well, heaven, I don't want heaven when I die. Heaven is a state of mind. It's a condition right here on earth. This white man, I have to say it, not talking about him, but just telling the truth.
He's sitting in
heaven. He's controlling the resources. He's controlling all that goes on around the world.
So
we have to deal with black on black crime, and it can be dealt with, and we will be. And we're dealing with that through the university. We have to deal with self hate. You know, Malcolm said something that stayed with me, and I'm gonna stop because I think what you're saying is right. Malcolm said to teach a man to hate himself. It's criminal much more than hate somebody else. So if
but
I hate my
job.
Hair, I hate my
that's
skin, I hate the way I look, I hate my lips,
that's
I hate my beautiful
they did their job
white
well.
Face.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes, they did their job well.
We have to break the cycle. How do we break the cycle? We break the cycle with this Pan-African Online University. We break it with the New Black Panther Party. You break it with the Nation of Islam. You break it by joining TOPS. You break it by joining some black revolutionary organization that's working toward conscious understanding, conscious growth, conscious education. This university system is not a fly-by-night thing. This is a complete paradigm shift to move our people from suffrage to doing for self. And we want you to come on board. That's why I said I'm so happy you're calling in.
I got a living room that can hold about 15 people. If you want to have class up in here, I'm not talking about it. I am about doing something.
Well, I'm
gonna
give you my number to call. I'm gonna give you my number right now. Can I give you my number?
Can you give me a number? I get your number from the president of the Black Party right here in Jacksonville. Yes,
I know. We want to be able to televise and work some type of Saturday program, but we're televising from your room all across America.
From last week's show, I heard a caller talking about we need to teach our children Spanish. Let me tell you something. I got a number. The next day, I got a number from a young, older Hispanic sister who is willing to teach Spanish. I got another lady who's willing to teach Creole. Look, man, they time is up. We don't need to talk about them fools no more. It is over and done with them. We need to talk to each other and get
it
done.
So I'm with you. I'm with you. Can I give you my number?
We're doing.
I'm going to give you my number.
They're going to start They're going to start hating their side. They're
going to
start hating their
side.
Brother James.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Your sister?
Brother James.
All right, I'm ready.
It's 904.
All right.
Well, brother, let me give her the number. And,
no,
I'm
no, no,
her
no, right here.
904-613-0729. And that's to anyone on the line who's listening, your first timer, or you're
right.
coming back. I'm going to give that number again. Again,
mm-hmm.
904-613-0729. And that's the Ministry of Education. Please call.
That's number one.
Yes, ma'am, right in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'll just be pulling them pants, man. You're embarrassing me and everybody else with the foolishness. I ain't even playing no more. I'm not playing no more. I don't care about what they say about it. I don't care what they do. You want to throw us crackers? God has blessed us. We can make anything out of those crackers. It don't
matter. I look forward to hearing from you, sister. I look forward to hearing from you. Brother Vernon, please go right ahead, sir.
No, no, I wanted to ask a question. I've heard this a couple of times concerning learning Spanish. And I was just concerned about why Spanish? When like you said, we have languages of our people, like Arabic, like Aramaic, like all the hundreds of languages of the African nations. That's to me, that's another language of the colonizers to me. You know?
The fastest growing, I can answer that very simply. What's happened is this. The fastest growing populations in America and around the world with the black and the Spanish or Latino people, or what we call them Mexican. They all speak a form of Spanish, all the way down to South America, all the way to Central America, California, Florida, and guess what? Learning this language not only allows us to interact, because we are forced to have General Taco come out from California, and there are Latino Spanish-speaking folks out there. Dr. Malik was out there. I would love to have been on that trip, but I'm telling you, we are now at a point where, as sister said, we don't want to spend time talking about white folks and what they're doing. We want to talk about the black and the brown. What are we doing? And so one of the first steps is we have to be able to communicate. I have right here in Florida, in Jacksonville, they're almost making it primary now for teachers to learn Spanish, just as they have in Miami. So we see this population of blacks and Spanish growing at a tremendous rate. And we're the two most oppressed, most ostracized groups of people on the face of the planet. What happens when we unify? You got it?
Yeah, true.
Yes, sir. There we go.
Yeah, I'm ready to unite the black and the black.
I don't know. I saw a beep come up. I thought I saw another call in the queue, Brother Sean. Do we have another call in the queue?
We got a caller here at area code 805-284. You're on the air with the National Ministry of Education. Your question, your comment, please. Black Power.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead. Yes, sir.
I thought you pressed this 8500 code. You said 8500 code?
Yes,
sir.
850, go right ahead.
Hey, this my name is Mafia Shakur. I'm supposed to be a member of the new Black Panther Party, you know what I'm saying? I talked to the dude that run the chapter in Jacksonville. I was talking to the lady. She said, ain't nobody trying to do nothing about it, but ain't that what Black Panther all about? Everybody trying to do something about it? I mean, unless you in the front line with these people in the street that, you know what I'm saying, black on black, everything that's going on right now, I mean, how you know what's going on unless you live it like yourself, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's easy for people that got an education, and then you say, you know, what about, you know what I'm saying, the people that trying to get it in life, and people that have been mistreated. You feel me? I mean, black people is trying to do something about it. I mean, that's why I'm trying to be a member of Black Panther, so I can do something about any situation that's going on. So I can help my brothers and sisters that get righteous. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so
sir.
It's like,
hey, big brother, I hear you say you want to be a member. Have you contacted anybody about joining?
Yes, I talked to the chairman in Jacksonville. Matter of fact, the chairman in Jacksonville. I talked to the chairman in Jacksonville. I forgot his name, but I got a number in my phone. Like you said, ain't nobody doing about it. She in Jacksonville. It's a chapter in Jacksonville. I think so. Cause
yes, sir.
So dude from Jacksonville gave me his number. I mean, my name Mafia Malik Shakur. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm a frontline battle soldier, born leader. I've been through a whole lot, like with the school system. I'm streetwise. You know, I feel like I'm very militant. So that's why I'm finna be Black Panther. You know, also, you know, a gang member. Grew up in the Bellamy 7-4. A lot of young brothers. You know, I look at a point like a lot of young brothers come to me just to join a gang. So I'm like, okay, if you can come to me just to join a gang, then also I can be a Black Panther. You know what I'm saying? And leave my brothers in the right direction with the black people. I mean, what's the difference between
death before
the honor of freedom but death? You know, I feel like if anybody listens to this line, don't mistreat nobody or anything that we trying to do. You feel me? If people say we ain't trying to do nothing, fuck them. I don't give a fuck. You might as well just hang the goddamn phone up. And no, I don't want to hear none of that shit. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to.
I got a question for you. I got a question for you. What we're looking at is, are you willing to help us with not only our Saturday program, but we're talking about surviving this white man's educational system, saving our babies. We haven't even talked about what happens day one when we send our children back into these killing fields and what happens.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, you know, your experience may be the same as mine and others.
Our
children go to school the first day of school, and they get suspended. How do you get suspended the first day of school?
The first day. Cause I've been suspended the first day of school, so I already know they count you out right before. I mean, that's why, you know, they feel like you're slow or something. They put you in the ESC class. Okay, you feel like you're gonna drop out anyway, so they're gonna put you all. They're gonna put everybody in the same class anyway. You know what I'm saying? So
yes, sir.
I don't know
yes,
what to do, but anything I need to help is help. You know, I be doing music. I be doing a lot of stuff with my music too.
Will you take my number? And call, because we are going to move forward with this education program locally and nationally. And I'm going to give it to you. I want you to call. You'll be working with Brother McHale, of course. I know she was speaking of. And my number is 904.
Hold on. I'm going to write it down now. 904.
Take your time, please. And I know we have a couple of callers in queue. We're going to ask you just please stand by. We're having a beautiful,
James,
beautiful
can I comment
dialogue.
To that, brother?
Oh, please
can
go right
ahead.
I'll get the brother number.
Yeah.
Yes,
hey, dear brother, I'm Brother Vernon from out here in Los Angeles. Hey, brother, you are on the right track, brother. You know, you're going to be about it. You're not going to talk about it. You're going to be about it.
No,
that's a beautiful thing. And let me say this, brother.
I got life on the line, I'm going to be about it.
But check this out. As far as the sister that called in, brother, well, I mean, she had her... whatever, you know, the way she wanted to express herself, and that's okay, brother, because we hear this is open, and we're trying to help each other. But I was going to tell you this.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I feel like, okay, I want to be a Black Panther, so I feel like, okay,
yes, sir.
If I hear people say we ain't about trying to do nothing about what I want to be a Black Panther for,
yes, sir.
But black-on-black crime is before end of time. I mean, and she said, you know what I'm saying, we've been suffering. How we suffer in the Bible also say we were the first people out here. You know what I'm saying? Okay, the white, Adam and Eve, white, okay, what do you think? And everything we run
here.
Yes, we thank God made it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. God said, the hell with the white folk. I'm going to make my own kind, make my own. That's why it's 12 tribes of Judah. We all come from the blood of Abraham. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We don't win
well,
for the suffering. We built to make people suffer. You either ride or get rolled on. That's how I feel.
Yeah, but young brother, let me tell you something. You're on the right track, brother. Like you said, if you're a former gang member or a gang of shot caller, whatever, brother, and you're going to join this Panther Party to lead and to, you know, because a lot of great Panthers were Bunchy Carter was a gang member, Huey P. Newton, Fred Hampton was a gang member. These brothers, when they took the organizational skills and they went into the party, brother, and learned about themselves and learned about us as a great people. But let me tell you something, people, brother, we are of many dimensional people, brother, far as knowledge, and we're warriors, we're scientists, we're doctors, we're all, we're music, we're art, we're everything. So, you know, you're doing the right thing. But let me say this, brother. Small minds gossip and average-sized minds talk of events, but large minds talk of ideas. Okay, so stay with the ideas, okay?
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Dear brother, I want to give you this number. and I know you've heard of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, understand that, again, we've been totally miseducated. I remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that we were taught that when our foreparents, our grandparents were brought to these shores, that we were separated from our parents. So when we were separated, we lost our language. We lost our names. We lost our culture. This was all by design. And so here we are today, rising as a people. I don't want us to get caught in the negative. Let's get caught up what we can do. Brother, I want to give you the number because we have a couple of calls.
That was
this.
That was Black Panther.
The number is 904-613-0729. 904-613-0729. All right?
Okay, I got it.
And, Brother, Sister Shabazz should be on the line about now. Sister Shabazz, have you come on? Have we heard from our Professor Shabazz? She had another radio broadcast, but we do need to know if she's come on.
Brother had a lot of fire, brother.
Y'all want me to hang up? I probably didn't hang up yet. No, sir.
Brother Sean, when Sister Shabazz come on, we're going to bring her right in. Sister Shabazz is going to be talking about something you'd be interested in, brother. We're talking about homeschooling. We're talking about giving our people the proper tools to be able to engage effectively in the system until we establish one of our own. Sister Shabazz, are you on the line?
I am, brother. Peace and love, family. Black power.
Black power. Sister, let me transition us out. I know we had some other calls, and we really appreciate it. We didn't get a... I'll just say this. I think Dr. Malik, Zulu Shabazz.
That's right.
I thank God, the Creator, for having such a beautiful, beautiful call. Brother, my number again is 904-613-0729. Anyone wants to get involved in this Ministry of Education, helping us build online Pan-African University for Black Excellence, and also our system's going to go deeper into the homeschooling. What I'm going to ask at this point is that we can hold the calls for a minute. We're going to come back to question and answers. Our sister Shabazz, can you give them a brief, small bio of yourself, some history, and then lay out your program? This sister, and I know I hate to jump right into it, but we want to take every minute that we can to utilize it for what you have.
Yes,
please,
absolutely, brother, and I will keep it very brief so that we can hear from our families that are holding on the lines. I have been actively involved with education now for the past 26 years, and what got me involved with education from being on school boards and being an active parent in the public school system was that I always thought that it was my responsibility to see what was going on from A to Z with my children. And once I realized that they were not teaching anything about the knowledge of self and Black history or having any Black books, it became my cause at that time. But when I saw that I was up against a real big giant, it was at that time that I knew I needed to do something different, which is why I started looking at independent schools and also home schools. So as a mother, I'm a mother of four children who have been trained and taught by me, of which I'm going to share the system that I have used for my children and now currently using for my grandchildren. I just thought that it was my responsibility, and that is what I want to share tonight, the responsibility, the collective responsibility that we can take ourselves just to start. And when I started homeschooling, I did not think that I was capable of teaching. I didn't have the confidence, although I had gone to some of the quote-unquote better schools. But it wasn't that education that made a difference to me. It was the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that invoked the spirit of self-education, which I still think is one of the most amazing teachings you can give to yourself is self-education. So with that in mind, that's kind of a little bit of background of myself without going into a lot of details. Is that sufficient enough for you, brother?
Oh, dear sister, please feel free to share everything you like. And this is your time to go ahead and lay out the program. And again, we'll go right into questions and answers once you feel you've responded. Brothers and sisters, I just got to tell you, you're in for a treat. If you never heard the sister speak, I'm going to tell you now, sit down, stop walking around, strap yourself to the seat, and understand you're going to learn what real education is all about. Thank you. Go ahead, sister, please.
Well, thank you, brother. Let me pray to the divine that I can deliver this the way you just gave me such a grand introduction. What I would like to say to our family is that it's at this time that we are looking to develop ourselves. We need to look at an alternative. Now, I realize that many of us are in our mindset, are thinking that we're not in a position at this time to look at independent schooling, to look at homeschooling. But we all have exactly what we need. We came to this planet with everything we need. We're capable of doing exactly what we need at this time in this situation. And to make that happen, we just have to take a few steps. One of the ways to do that is to do it very slowly, to do it very gently. I know I heard you very briefly talking about a Saturday school program. Schooling does not take all day. You can teach a child every day in everything that you do. And one of the things that we're talking about doing to invoke the idea of independent learning, which is what nothing but independent schools and homeschooling is, independent learning outside of our open enemy, you taking control and being active, being the facilitator of your child's education. Now, if you start a Saturday school program, you can start that program. And my Saturday school program and also my home school program is focused in on children that are 3 to 5. And I'm going to talk about them simply because they are the ones that we must capture the imagination of them right now. And you can do that very simply. I do a 90-day approach to children in the home school program. The 90-day approach starts with teaching alphabets. Well, you know there's 26 alphabets. You teach an alphabet a day. Take that alphabet, share the alphabet with the children, do the sounds of the alphabet, allow them to trace the alphabet, and no push. There is no push in this system. It's very small, gentle steps because everything is strictly about repetition. You're showing them love. You're showing them kindness. You're showing them respect. You're showing them honor and showing them how they can learn. We must use the same approach that commercials use, which is the jingle, over and over and over again. You find yourself sometimes, if you're listening to radio or looking at television, you find yourself singing a jingle that's in your head, and that's the approach that we must take with our children. So I take the 26 days, and I teach alphabets. All nothing but alphabets, those whole 26 days. After that time has gone, then you take just a kind of a review with the child. No test. We don't need tests. We've already been tested enough. We're being tested upon, tested, every all kind of high-stakes testing. We don't need to do that with our children. We know that their minds are capable of taking in any information. So what you do is after you take the 26 days, now you introduce them to sounds, the sounds of the letter, along with reviewing the letters, still having them to write the letters, but you're reviewing the letters with them. And you can take this approach to any form of learning. You can take this approach. I'm just speaking on elementary level. This same approach can be gradually used for anything that you want. Mathematics, you can use this for mathematics. Now, after we do the sounds of all the letters, then I introduce mathematics. Well, I only introduced 1 through 20, which now counts for 20 days. So now you have put your program up to, 70 days? And then you take that and you break it down with some counting aspects, showing them what the numbers are, showing them the tracing. Still, you don't give up anything that you've done. You're still teaching them the alphabet. You're still teaching the sounds of the alphabet. So you're taking a very small, gentle approach to allowing their minds to digest this knowledge that we're going to put into their minds. And then after you do your numbers, you just want to do a grand review so that you will know where you need to start your 90 days. if you need to start your 90 days with some of the children that are there, with going back and reinforcing some of the letters, then you do that. But you now you're introducing colors, you're introducing shapes to them through the process of the education. What I would say is that the best thing that we can do for ourselves and our children is to become knowledgeable and not afraid. All of us can teach elementary children, which is why I'm saying that we can bring homeschooling into our communities in a grand way. You can bring it in because pretty much everyone knows their alphabet. It's a very simple system. It's a very gentle system to allow them to open their minds up. And not only that, when you start invoking learning, it is going to invoke learning upon you. You're going to want your desire to learn more, to understand more, to learn more strategies, to sing songs, to make up different types of skits in your learning system. All of this will come to you. Your creativity will open, because what will happen is that you will start stimulating both sides of your brain. So in stimulating both sides of your brain, you will constantly grow. More information will come. You become more analytical. You become more logical and coach with your children, and you will grow them as they continue to grow. So independent schooling, support independent schooling. There are things all across. I'm not talking about charter schools. Charter schools, well, that's a whole other story. I'm sure you all probably maybe have spoken about that. But I'm saying schools that are African-centered, schools that are taking the approach that will allow our children to learn the knowledge of themselves. And in learning and teaching children the basics, you teach them to love themselves, because they become proud of themselves with their accomplishment. And when you have a child that is open to the self-love of themselves, you have a brain that is open to complete knowledge up to who they are. Now you start putting all of the things that they need in them to fuel them for liberation. You teach a liberation form of education. You teach you empower them with having the idea in their mind that they should be free, free indeed, free in their efforts, free in their works. And let me just address real quick, brother, and then I just want to kind of open it up for us all to kind of talk, is that there are some I guess you may say some frequently asked questions or some concerns that parents have when it comes to dealing with homeschooling, curriculum. The very basic thing that I talked about right now is a very elementary curriculum. You can progress your curriculum for every 90 days. Also online, there is curriculums. You can Google them. K-12 has a curriculum, very complicated, but it costs money. It is not necessarily geared for African learning, but it will get you where you need to be, is that is to become more independent. The other thing that I get a lot is parents will say, well, I don't know math. You don't have to know mathematics. You can employ someone, or you can barter, or you can do cooperative learning in your homeschooling, meaning that there may be a parent that is very good at math. Bring that parent in. Allow them to teach the math section of your curriculum. Science, there's people all around us, but we have to just start to network with one another. The other thing is people say, well, I'm working. I don't have time. Well, it only takes 2 to 4 hours to teach children. What they're designing right now is not to educate our children, as they spoke about earlier, but 2 to 4 hours. Small children, 2 hours. Older children, 4 hours. That's enough. They don't need to be in school all day. There are other things that they can do. If that's the time frame. Now, the other part of the time frame is I have sisters who say, well, I work. Well, if you work during the day, then perhaps maybe you can look at if you can get your shift changed to at night. If you can't get your shift changed to at night to teach your children during the day, there are no rules of teaching. You can teach your children when you need to teach them. The only rules are what Europeans have given us. If you need to start your homeschooling and teach it at another time, you retrain your family. If you retrain yourself, with your jobs, and you can retrain your family. What I'm saying is that we can overcome all of the obstacles that have been put in our way if we take the seriousness that is necessary to educate our children. We would do whatever it takes. And finally, you have parents who just have just said, wow, we've invested a lot in this school. We invest time, we invest money, and we have a long struggle in the public school system. So you have parents that don't want to give that struggle up. But I say, let's dig to the bottom of the barrel to find the truth. And the truth of the matter is, when we had our children in little small little schoolhouses, they were the most educated, they were the most well-rounded, they were the most mannerable. And socialization is another thing that a lot of parents are concerned about with homeschool. But from what I have seen and experienced myself, most of the children that are homeschooled, they have very good ways of communicating. They know how to hold very dignified conversations. Their behavior is usually up to par, and their minds are so open that you can pretty much feed them anything in the way of knowledge. So with that in mind, brother, if we can all just kind of bring ourselves together and kind of talk about some of the other things that...
Sister Shabazz?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. That's how Professor Shabazz has laid out the homeschool. We have another sister who is a partner with you in the homeschool program. If she's on the line, I believe we can hear from her. This is our professor, Professor Chuma. Are you on the line? Can we hear from you? Are you there? This is another sister who is, so we have a beautiful connection, one in Texas, one in Virginia, sisters out in California, brother in California, in Florida, and we have folks in D.C. all the way to Chicago and Ohio who've spoken tonight. Sister Professor Chuma from Virginia, are you on the line? You may have to press 1 to get in the queue. If not, we're not going to wait. We're going to ask Sister Shabazz. Professor?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and Sister Chuma has done some amazing things with her family, homeschooling. And I'm just not saying this, and this is a fact. My children are very well respected in the community. I have children. My youngest is 18 and my oldest is 25. And everywhere that my children go, they're very well respected. They're very well rounded. They're educated. So homeschooling absolutely works.
Yes, ma'am. Well, Sister Shabazz, if Professor, if not, what we can do is we'll be in the queue to answer any questions, but if we would like to go right into question and answers, unless you have more to lay out, Professor. If not, we'll ask Brother Sean if we have calls in the queue.
Okay. No, sir. Right now, there's... There's one call coming up, and Sister Chuma is in the queue. I don't know if she can hear us, but we'll have her mic open in just a second again, so she can try to come back on. I want to take a call here at area code 504-432. You're on the air with the Ministry of Education. Your question, your comment, please talk to us. Black Power.
Black Power, brother. Well, this is my statement. Also in the educational system too. We need to have the young people with the trade out here because, you know, some of our people may not go to college and stuff, but they should have a trade other than just, you know, playing sports and all of that. You know, I really believe they need a trade inside the school, you know, well, in case if they do get out in the real world, they're able to provide for themselves, do for themselves.
Yes, brother, you are 100% right. We must build trades. And what the best way we can do trades now is like a brother like you. I'm assuming that if you're speaking of trades, you probably have a trade. You can teach a trade. And that's where we need to start. We don't need an institution to teach trades, but we need brothers and sisters who can take another young family, some brothers and sisters underneath his arm, and start teaching them right on the spot. We don't have to have an institution to teach trades. We have brothers and sisters who are capable, and we just have to build that unity among ourselves right now. So if you have a skill, if you're a carpenter, then you should have at least three brothers around you that you are teaching that skill. And those three brothers, you may have them to make a commitment to you. If they learn this skill, that they must take this skill and carry it forward so that they can teach someone else. So we can teach ourselves, and it won't cost anything, because a lot of families cannot afford to pay for a continuing type education or trade education. But there are enough of us here in the belly, in the hell of this North America, that we can start getting one another and teaching one another. There's a family, I'm sure, on your block that there's a young brother that could use your trade, whatever your trade. What is your trade, my brother?
Well, I do landscaping.
Okay, landscaping. Well, beautification, you know, in the hood, everybody needs landscaping. You barely see grass in the hood. So your skill is very necessary for us, because when you see things that are beautiful, you begin to respect them. So up and down your neighborhood, you can teach landscaping, even if you have to tell the family, listen, you buy your materials and I'll teach your son. I'll show him how to lay out the flowers. I'll show him how to measure, how deep he needs to go. I'll show him how far and wide they need to be. So I appreciate what you bring into us right now, because we need brothers like you who have those type of skills, who can show brothers and sisters how to make the grass green and what kind of tools is necessary to have in your house so that you can keep your house beautiful. And absolutely, thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. What a wonderful question.
Okay. Beautiful question. Beautiful. Sister Chuma, are you out there? Brother Sean was trying to pull in, Sister Professor. Sister Chuma, can you still hear?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me, Brother James?
Yes, ma'am, we can hear you. Sister Shabazz has laid out the homeschool program platform, and I'm going to let Sister handle it, how you all wanted to roll, how you wanted to give us some more information, because Sister Shabazz has laid out a very, very thorough program that we'll be able to implement and use with the Pan-African University Black Excellence. So, Sister Shabazz,
yeah,
I'm turning it back
Chuma,
over to you.
Black, thank you, my brother. Sister Chuma, Black Power, nice to hear your voice, my sister. If
thank
you don't
you,
mind, my sister, you're very welcome. I have already spoken about the fact that you are very implementing. Oh, see, that's what the English language does to you. Make your tongue lazy. So you got to keep your children at home so you can lift them up. So, but if you could, my sister, just kind of give us, like brother gave me, a real brief overview of yourself, and also maybe like why you decided homeschooling, kind of real, maybe your 60-second commercial on where, how you got to where you are right now in terms of homeschool.
Okay. Well, the reason why I decided to homeschool was because I wasn't liking the information that they was teaching my children in school, and they were basically maneuvering history based upon how they wanted her to think and believe. As far as they were picking and choosing, who her heroes were, who she can do her reports on. They were deciding, you know, which part of history should be studied versus, you know, which type of knowledge she should know. And also indirectly teaching her that, or them, excuse me, that they are inferior beings, whether they're superior beings. So it just got to a point where I was like, you know what, it's enough. Because I was always teaching my children outside of school, you know, their history, you know, where they come from, symbols, what symbols means. We learning different languages. Right now, my daughter, she's learning Japanese, but she speaks a little Swahili as well as a little Spanish, but she didn't get that in public school. So I just decided it was just time to improve her or improve their, you know, state of mind, as well as I have other children around that see my children doing something different. So now they're interested in homeschooling. So what we're doing here is right now we're in the process of starting two different homeschooling programs. like you were saying earlier, Sister Shabazz, like parents, they didn't have, you know, some of them say they don't have time to homeschool or, you know, they just don't feel confident enough in homeschooling. So what we did was we got a couple teachers that were in the public school system that decided to pull out as well and just start homeschooling situations. So we have one going on in the bookstore right now, and then we have one in a private home. So we're trying to change the dynamic of how we should be educated, you know. So that's where we're at
right now. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Sister Shabazz, we're going to direct someone to you if we can. Brother Sean, can you open up the queue? I know it's a caller for Sister Shabazz and Sister Tuma, our experts, homeschool experts. Caller, the caller waiting. You have a question?
Yes. Brother James?
Yes, sir, please. Yes, who's calling?
This Brother Marvin out of Fort Worth, Texas. KFOR Movement Radio, Slum Lincoln.
Lincoln, come on.
Lincoln,
that is absolutely beautiful. I was telling the sister speaking about you today and that we have to connect. She's in Dallas, Texas, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Brother Marvin, welcome. Welcome to the Black Power Radio Freedom of Death line, dear brother. Go right ahead.
Yes. Beautiful show, Brother James. One of the things I wanted to direct to Sister Shabazz, and she was talking about reputation to the youth, and that's what we're going to do actually on Tuesday night, reputation. But we were going to bring that up because we knew that was important to our youth and our children. But at what point, there's two questions I want to ask. At what point do we begin to move forward off of reputation? And what, and in terms of going to other goals and other strategies, when do we move forward and let the reputation go and go forward? That's one of the questions. And another question is the tension of sport and play, because our young girls and our young boys' mindset, as we get them to the classroom, this is good strategy. But their mindset is directly at football, basketball, and things like that. How do we handle that? What do we need to say to them? How do we need to let them know that that's not really the vital pulse of the future generation? So if she could she address those issues? Thank you, Brother James.
Thank you, dear brother.
Thank you, my brother. What a wonderful question, and I'm glad you said that. And I'm going to talk about the last part that you said first, and that is on the sport and play. One of the things that's very important is that our children have not been taught the discipline of listening, and we'll briefly talk about that a little bit later. But what I do is whenever new children come into my cipher, then I teach the children how to sit down and put their hands on their knees and just to be quiet for 30 seconds. And your older children must learn how to be quiet, too, because what is necessary for us to take an overview of is that they have a lot of radio in the head. You've heard this before, and it's really real in their minds. They have commercials, things that are going on in their minds right now that are so unsettling. So what is necessary to do with those children is take the same approach that you would use with a small child. But with our children, they've been so used to getting something or looking at things like, well, what's in it for me? Put together a small reward system, for those children who can sit 1 minute, because even a minute is very difficult to get some of our teenagers to sit down without moving, without speaking, without saying anything, or without fidgeting. They just do not have the discipline. And that is a part of the downfall to the sport and play. And unfortunately, we have a lot of our people who are in the community of consciousness who allow their children to participate in sport and play. And so it make it look like it's an acceptable behavior. But it really has a very devastating effect on us. But when children are, our children who are involved right now in sport and play, you have to withdraw them. It's a habit. It's an addiction. You can't snatch it from them. But you can reward them for being quiet for 5 minutes.
you might want to go and get you a goodie bag or something, and give them something out of your good student bag, and their minds are still very elementary, so it's no insult to them. Their minds are elementary because they have not been developed. Any child, teenager, who cannot sit still is a very undeveloped child. They're still working on a very adolescent level. So it's okay if you give them rewards, reward them like we would do for little small children. And as far as sport and play, put an athletic program together for yourself. Put together a jumping jack program. Who can do the most jumping jacks in here? Here's what you can do. Who can do the most sit-ups? Who can do the most pull-ups? You know, put your own athletic program in place. And again, you know, when it's still at some of these teenagers, it might be too late. Get the ones who want to be there and get the ones who are participating and the ones who are causing mischief among your children. You just have to ask the parents to remove those children. That's the way I do it. I don't play around with the parents' children who are not putting in the time and effort to help discipline their children. And I'm not talking about beating children because I don't really like to use that kind of energy on children, but to put together a strategic program. And also, you tell your child something or your student something, let that be your only time that you have to say it. Let the discipline speak for it. If you have a punishment in place, don't alter that. The moment you alter that, you have dropped your discipline program. So if your discipline program is you don't speak when I speak and the consequences of whatever it is, or you have to leave this room, then those are your consequences. Don't change. Because the moment you bend your back, those children are going to take over. And you talked about the children. Would you like to address the other question, my sister, where he's talking about the repetition? Is that what you said, right, brother? Yes, would you like to address that question, my sister?
Can you rephrase and repeat the question again, sister? Maybe it needs to be for the audience. And actually, I vaguely remember the question myself there, brother.
Yeah,
buddy.
That was such a beautiful, beautiful explanation. All praises due to Allah. Yes, ma'am.
Brother, repetition. It's by repetition and our children, how we just constantly repeat ourselves on getting the educational foundation to our children, keep pounding away, and I understand that. But at what point do we move forward?
Yes,
at what point do we go into other goals and other strategies?
Go ahead, my sister.
I'm sorry. Actually, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and this is the point right now, because it's going to take for us at this moment to say, listen, we need to start our own school. We need to start educating our own children, teaching them what they need to know, versus continuing to allowing them to become brainwashed or stay in the system where they, like you said, repetitiously learn that they're only good for certain things, which is still a level of enslavement. So to answer your question, brother, right now at this point, what we need is participation from everybody that's listening, participation from relatives, participation from coworkers, and everybody else to just start pulling their children out of these school systems and allowing them or allowing us to teach our children. I hope I answered the question sufficiently.
Brother Marvin.
Yeah, and what I would like to add to that too, my sister, and I am in 100% agreeance, brother. And the thing about a thing about doing something repetitively is it becomes a habit. And what the brain does is that the brain will recognize the habit, and it will give us and our children the necessary tools, because it's like the brain is a big storage house, as you already know. But what happens is that it starts to trigger stuff. Things trigger.
like, for example, take it, you can think of yourself when you heard something and you go, I get it. Well, that's what will happen to our children. They may not express it in the same way we will, but when you continue to put knowledge, different types of situations in their mind, it will click. All of a sudden, they'll be ready to go on to the next level. And not, we shouldn't look to teach our children like Caucasian people teach their children. I mean, how they have taught, miseducated us, because there's errors in their system. There's so many errors in their system. If we just know that their systems were designed to miseducate, then we don't need to just throw their system on out the door. Our children will let us know when they're ready. And that's why I say do it in very small steps. Do it very loving, just kind of like how the mother would do. You know, you take your child and you go, okay, now I know you ain't get this, but let me show you again. Let me show you how to tie these shoes. If you can just remember what it took for you to get your shoes tied. You didn't get it on the first try, not even probably on third, because it's actually you got to use more motor skills. So what we will be doing is using the motor skills of the brain to connect, so that we can move them gently to the next level. I hope we answered your question, my beloved brother.
Mr. Schumer? Yes. I'm sorry, Mr. Boz?
Yes.
Mr. Boz, Brother Marvin and I were on last night, and we talked about some of this extensively. I know that one of the brother's questions, and it has to go to a deeper level, we did cover some of this in the beginning, Brother Marvin, I don't know if you're on, but we talked about really making
yes,
a complete paradigm shift. But see, the other part of this, and the homeschool is very important, what are the goals and objectives of which we're directing our children to? Even with that, and preparing them for opportunities for employment and preparing business, so I know the brother and I and talked about this along the radio station, is do we want to continue to assimilate and integrate into something without having put all the tools in place? We know we have to survive for now. But at the same token, every human being have a goal. And their goal may not be my goal or your goal, but one of the first laws of nature is self-preservation. So we're preparing them for something bigger. And I know that was part of the discussion. I know that was part of your question on a deeper level. But Sister Shabazz, in the homeschooling with the older children, sport and play is very serious. I want to ask and direct this question. I don't do the homeschooling. I do the other program, but the homeschool is important. So many of our boys want to be professional athletes. And that's what the brother was kind of chiming toward. They really have that desire, pro football, pro baseball. It's just the male ego thing. In the homeschooling, what have you all done? Are you have that not become an issue at this point? Is it still a developmental process? How maybe you can address that for us as the children are getting older.
Yeah, and well, for the younger children that I'm working with right now, I do exercising programs with them. I'm teaching them how to do handstands, how to do back bends, things like that. But these are younger children. But for the older children, that's why I said we have to create our own athletic program. If they want to be, if they like football, then put together a track and field program so that they can build up their endurance. But if they want to be able to understand these sports, then challenge them to understand the rhythm of their bodies. Challenge them to understand the consequences of having their bodies to be pounded on. Challenge them the consequences of running up and down a wooden floor and what it does to the knees. Challenge them to understand how the bones work into the body. So it's not enough to just sway them away. You got to show them why these things will be devastating on them. It looks like they're going to be rewarded up front, but let me show you. And go and get some of those older brothers who are now on, who have a cane because they cannot walk without a cane, and go interview some of those brothers and also show them what happens with the money. These brothers, show them the reality. If you're teaching them math, then show them that most of these sports athletes are broke within 3 to 5 years. We got to show our young people the true facts. They're not looking
at
the facts. They're only looking at the glamour. So if you go behind the scenes, show them the behind the scenes, and then they'll be able to to calculate for themselves. And then you can go back and show them some brothers who are successful in just regular businesses. You can show them a brother like Brother Sean, who has a very successful radio show. He's a great brother to point out to them. And show them some of the brothers, a brother who was on the line, who is has his own gardening business. We have to just point out to them some other options and give them the true facts.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Shabazz, I want to interject right here. We do have a special treat right now, my brothers and my sisters. If you could please hold your positions. We have on the line with us our national chairman of the New Black Panther Party. This is Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black power, sir.
Black power.
All right. Black power. Can you all hear me?
Yes, sir,
yes.
Dr. Malik.
All right, I just wanted to call in at the end of this show to say how thankful I am to you all. Thankful to all of you individually and collectively in the Ministry of Education, because I am very confident, based on this radio broadcast and the previous radio broadcast and all of your great reports that you send to me, that this ministry here and this effort to re-educate our people and to build a movement around re-educating our children and parents, I'm sure that it is in good hands. So thanks to you, Professor and Brother James Muhammad, Professor and Sister Akua, Professor and Sister So Love Shabazz, Professor and Sister Chuma, and Brother Vernon out there in Los Angeles. Thanks to you all, and for others who are on the line that will join this mighty effort. I just wanted to say thanks to you all collectively as we move forward into the fall. I'm very impressed by the work that we're doing. And one thing that came to my mind in listening to this broadcast was, you know, sometimes organizations have conventions, and they have summits, and they have big meetings. And the things that they discuss and decide at those summits or meeting or conventions, sometimes they're lost within 30, 60, or 90 days after that big meeting. But this here, and what we're doing here in the Ministry of Education here, and building an online university, educating our people and our parents on how to do homeschooling, laying out a program here tonight and throughout the fall that educates youth, children, and adults and parents. Certainly, this is a worthy agenda that we are pursuing, providing them books that some of you all have written, books and writings and lectures. So I just wanted to say thank you. I'm looking forward to the opening night in September. I'm working now to bring in Dr. Leonard Jeffries and Dr. Renoko Rashidi and Ashra Kwesi and Professor Tony Browder and many of the great professors in our movement and lecturers in our movement. But again, it's just like black power to you all, and thank you, because you're making what we laid at our convention and our summit in June. You are the seeds or the fruit. You are the fruit of the seeds that were planted, you know, as we go about this work of building a nation and building a structure. It's not easy. It's going to take some struggle. We're going to have different ideas about different things, but certainly we're on the right road.
All praise to the Lord.
Yes, sir. Black power, Chairman.
Dr. Malik,
yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, brothers and sisters. We are truly, truly blessed to have our brother, Dr. Malik. Dr. Malik, are you taking any questions, or is that it, sir?
No, that's really it. I just wanted to call in and say thanks, and for those who are on the line, to stay on the line. I'm sure Brother Sean will give out the call-in number. Stay on the line and stay in the process, because what we're going to be helping you all on in the fall with the help of these leaders in this Ministry of Education, we're going to help you get your own homeschooling going. We're going to help you and for our kids in the public school system.
we're going to show you how to build independent African schools. And most of all, we're going to be teaching and educating on a regular basis. So I'm just excited, and I'm going to continue to listen in. And I thank you all, because when education is the first priority of any movement, of any liberal, of any struggle, of any revolution, of any movement, of any family, of any person, of any human being, even if any race, the name of our Lord. So,
yes, sir. Praise
the Lord. Black Panther Party. I thank you and I salute you. Black Power.
Black Power. Brothers and sisters, you just heard it from the chairman of the new Black Panther Party. I call him the chancellor of the university. All praises to Allah. We have our beautiful professor, Sister Shabazz. Excuse me, Sister Kua. Professor Vernon. Did I forget anybody? Well, our brother, we didn't get to hear from other professor tonight, but he'll be on. That's Brother Diallo, who is one of our secondary administrators who's working to make a difference out here in the wilderness of North America. Sister Shabazz, did you have anything you wanted to close out with on the homeschooling before we get disconnected? We probably got about 2 to 3 minutes, and then we're just going to close off with a real quick closure here, recognizing and thanking everyone, of course. Sister Shabazz, and we're going to continue with homeschooling next week. I believe you have more for us. Is that correct? Professor Shabazz, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Her mic is still open. I don't know if she can hear you, but her mic's open.
I don't know if she can hear me. Professor Shabazz, are you there? That's Sister Shabazz in Dallas, Texas. I hear some noise in the background, but it's not coming through, Brother Sean.
Yes.
Sister Kua.
Yes, sir. She's still on. Sister Kua, fella, right now we have with us still Brother Vernon's on, with Professor Vernon's on. Professor Chuma is on with us, and another caller, so still rolling in the after show now.
Well, yes, sir. So what we can do is we can actually close this part down and go into the after show. We know that it's going to shut off on us at some point as we thank Dr. Malik, and this will be a time we continue with the questions and answers as long as our Brother Sean will allow us. I know many of us have to go on those jobs tomorrow, and we have to get up early and have to prepare ourselves and put our suit and armor of protection as we go out and battle this beast. But still, we have to make a living here in the wilderness of North America. So with that being said, again, Sister Shabazz, are you there, dear sister? I hear some mingling. We can't hear you. We thank our Sister Shabazz for getting us started with the homeschooling, brothers and sisters. Can't emphasize, remember, the woman, the mother, is the first teacher. And so what a better place to start. Sister Chuma, anything you'd like to say as we prepare for the after questions?
Yeah, only thing that I really would like to say is I want to express how excited I am about the, just us getting this program kicked off and off the ground. So I'm looking forward to working with the whole staff and definitely making a difference.
Yes, ma'am, all praise to Allah. And brothers and sisters, I must say this, we're going to talk more on religion because we don't want to move anybody away. Obviously, some of you gather that I am a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and our Minister Louis Farrakhan, and also a member and our brother in this new Black Panther Party in the movement for Pan-African liberation of our people. We're going to get to talk about that more as we go into our Saturday lectures. Also, Brother Vernon.
Yes, sir, good brother.
Brother Vernon, do you have any last closing quick remarks, dear brother? Anything to be said?
Brother James, I'd like to say I'm really excited concerning the homeschool and the Afrocentric teaching. I think that, brother, is going to be a light. I think that's going to be a light within all our young Black children. You know, when we really touch on melanin, when we touch on subjects like that are going to open the minds of our young people, you're going to see a difference in society concerning our people and our children. So, brother, I'm very excited, brother, and I really, I like to say this. I want to thank you And well, thank Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz, and thank yourself for allowing me to participate in this, brother.
Yes, sir, brother.
And I just want to say that. And Black Power, brother.
Black Power, Black Power. Brothers and sisters, and those who don't know we mean Black Power, we don't use Black Power in a racist, supremacist way as white supremacists use. We want to be very clear. As Black people, we use Black Power to empower and to motivate and encourage our people to be successful. And this is why we say power to the people. Power to the people, and black power. Because, first of all, we cannot be racist, and we don't have any power to oppress anyone. So, therefore, we want power to the people, and it is black power. I believe our sister Siobhan is back on to give us the last words and close us down with any last comments you want to make on anything, just as we begin to transition to the after-hour questions. Sister Siobhan, are you there?
Sister Shabazz. I don't think she is.
Well, brother and sister, I just want to say this. If our sister comes in, Brother Sean, I will stop. You know, we're in this transition. I'm going to close us down, and then we'll have the half-hour's questions and answers and conversation. But understand, just like the children of Israel suffer, and they refuse to come out of Pharaoh. They refuse to come out of the country by which they were ostracized. They refused to come out. So God made them suffer, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until what? Until they died off. Well, we've been in America for over 500 years. We suffered under Willie Lynch and Jim Crowism and all these other racism and dominationism and lynchism and everything else. It is a time. Dr. Malik sent a text last week. And I tell you, think about this. Think about this. We're not murdering and killing white people, but when the time is up, their time is up.
Come on, man.
What's happening? One of their senators was killed by their own. I mean, was attempted to be murdered by their own. I can't remember her name, but she was a senator and is a senator. Look what happened with the Batman movie. Look what happened with the shootings that took place at the Sikh temple. Look at what happened with Trayvon Martin. Look at what's happening with other police racist brutality incidents going across America. And mention this is happening in the school campuses, which you don't hear about here in this country. So we're going to talk a little about next week, and we're going to close it down and leave it just open for question and answer conversation. Next week, we're continuing part three until we get to the first day of school, which comes up the following week. Saving our children from the white man's educational system, or more or less surviving the white man's educational system and saving our babies, saving our children. Next week, we want to deal with how to prepare your child for the first day of school. There's some things that we need to do. They've been out. They've been in summer. They've been out here this summer. They've been caught up in a lot of different things. They've seen some have gone hungry. Understand this. Some of our children depend on the free lunch program. That's a shame. But I'll say this. We have to prepare our children to re-enter the killing fields over here in North America. The plantation of miseducation. Someone sent me a text. Did you say the plantation of miseducation? Yes, ma'am. The public school system is the plantation of miseducation that leads to our HBCUs and predominantly white colleges that carry on this colonization and this colonization and assimilation process that's keeping us 21st and 22nd century slaves. So it's time to wake up with a Pan-African program. With that being said, I leave us with this. Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, the people who will not treat you right will not teach you right.
Will not teach you right.
People who will not treat you right will not teach you right. And nobody's
Brother
been more mistreated than the black man and woman here in America. Brother and sister,
come on,
with that
man.
Being said, black power.
Black
power. Power to the people. Brother Sean, when the after hours. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And don't forget, 904-613-0729.
Call James.
And become a member of the... Yes, sir.
I'm going back to work. Can we talk
brother,
later?
We appreciate you, brother. We appreciate you. Thank you again, Professor Verna.
I appreciate you, too, brother. I'll call you later.
I'm going to set music. Yes, sir. 904-613-0729, Lincoln Salon. Peace. If there are no questions in the queue, Brother Sean, I'm a sit as long as there is. But if not, I'll say it again. Black power and power to the people. Brother Sean,
once you change your philosophy, you change your thought pattern. Once you change your thought pattern, you change your attitude. Once you change your attitude, it changes your behavior pattern. And then you go on into some action. As long as you got a sit-down philosophy, you'll have a sit-down thought pattern. And as long as you think that old sit-down thought, you'll be in some kind of sit-down action. They'll have you sitting in everywhere. It's not so good to refer to what you're going to do as a sit-in. Then right there, it castrates you. Right there, it brings you down. What goes with it? What think of the image of someone sitting? An old woman can sit. An old man can sit. A chump can sit. A coward can sit. Anything can sit. Well, you and I have been sitting long enough, and it's time today for us to start doing some standing and some fighting to back that up. When we look at other parts of this earth upon which we live, we find that black, brown, red, and yellow people in Africa and Asia are getting their independence. They're not getting it by singing, "We Shall Overcome." No, they're getting it through nationalism. It is nationalism that brought about the independence